blessing to be here again this morning and share together around the Word of God. This morning we are a very blessed people, and we have the Word of God with us. It's the Word of life and light, it's a Word of hope, and it's a Word of immortality. It's eternal. And we are here this morning as believers, as fellow travelers on the road from earth to glory. This morning, we also greet you in the name of Jesus. He's the faithful one. He is our faithful high priest. He is the one who came to this earth, lived here among men. He walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, and he was faithful in all that he did. All that he did. Hebrews 2 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore in all these things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." He was a merciful and faithful high priest. And it's because of that that we can be here today. It's because of that that we have an interest in his word. And it's because of that that we can live lives free from sin and pleasing to him. Psalm 36 and verse 5, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." And I wonder if maybe David had a vision of God up there in heaven on his throne, somewhere way above the clouds. And as he saw those clouds, we don't know, maybe, you know, 15 to 35,000 feet up there in the air, he said, "God's mercy is reacheth unto the clouds, and the earth is full of his mercy." And he was surrounded by the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalm 119 and verse 90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Someone once said that Psalm 19, that every verse in Psalm 119 except one speaks of the commandments or the statutes or the word of God. And I'm not sure about that. I think there might have been a time that I double-checked that. But this must be the verse. It doesn't talk about the commandments of God, but what does it talk about? It says he's faithful unto all generations. He's faithful unto all generations, and his word is faithful unto all generations. And he has established it, and it abideth. And so God's faithfulness will bless us today. Yes, God is faithful even in 2020. And you this morning are not beyond the reach of his hand. You are not beyond the reach of his touch. And so reach up and accept his touch in your life. His faithfulness is unto all generations. And Jesus has left us an example of faithfulness. The Gospels give the story of Jesus. The epistles continue the doctrine that Jesus introduced and teach, the apostles taught and preach the gospel of Jesus. Jesus was faithful to his heavenly Father, to his earthly family, and to all those that he met. He was always faithful all the time to everyone. And he brought them to Christ, to God, and he brought them to a place of, and wanted to lead people to a place of life and rest and peace. He loved everyone. He was faithful in all that he did. He was faithful to his calling and was always mindful to perform according to the will of his Father. He didn't seek his own will, but he sought the will of the Father. And Christ is calling us today to seek the will of the Father. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus there said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so this morning we want to be faithful to the will of God in our lives. Faithfulness to the Lord is achieved as we endeavor to follow His will. Faithfulness. I'd like to think about this thought of faithfulness. What does God want from us today? What is He seeking from us? What is He longing that we would accomplish in this life? We've been through a lot this year. There's a lot of turmoil. There's been ups and downs. I must admit this morning that I'm disturbed by the chatter around in this world of the prospect of more restrictions in relation to COVID. I'm disturbed by that. It unnerves me. What does God want from His people? I was going to say we came through another time of election. I guess we're still in that yet. And it's caused a lot of turmoil among us, I would say. What is God looking for from His people? God wants us to be faithful today. He wants us to be faithful to Him tomorrow and the next day. He has a plan. He has a purpose. God is faithful unto all generations, and He wants His people to be faithful to Him and to follow Him. The word faithful in Webster's dictionary says this: steadfast in affection or allegiance, loyal, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, conscientious. And that's a verb. The word faithful as a verb: steadfast in affection and allegiance, very loyal. This is just a bit of a sideline, but as a noun, this is what Webster said, the word faithful as a noun, a faithful person. It said this. This is the only thing it said. If I remember correctly, it said, church members in full communion and good standing. Sounds like a Mennonite discipline or something, doesn't it? That's what Webster said about a faithful person. Church member in full communion and good standing. Interesting. Faithful. We are faithful to that which we believe in. We are faithful. We are loyal to that which we believe in. It's to that which we value and hold dear. There are other things besides God that we can be faithful in. Faithful to that which we value and hold dear, that which is precious to us. We are faithful to the cause that brings us joy and delight. We're faithful to that cause. We're faithful to a cause that we perceive to bring fulfillment to us. And men and women today pursue many things that they perceive. They're faithful to a cause that they believe brings fulfillment. We are faithful to the cause that brings us joy and delight. I'd like to use the title this morning, Faithful in the Journey. Faithful in the Journey. Life is a journey. We are traveling the road from earth to glory. And we're traveling through time, and we're headed for eternity. We desire faithfulness. We want it badly. I believe this morning that all of us here want to be faithful, don't we? If I would ask you if you want to be faithful to the Lord, we would all raise our hands, because we want to follow Him. We want to be faithful. We want to meet Him at the end of the journey of life. We want that. We desire faithfulness. We want it badly. Sometimes maybe we don't want it bad enough. How badly do you want to be faithful to the Lord? Maybe we don't desire it badly enough. And it's why we wander off the path. It's why we become distracted, because we don't want faithfulness bad enough. How badly do you want to be faithful to the Lord? The urge and desire to fulfill fleshly pleasure sometimes wins in the tug of war between faithfulness to God versus loyalty to our own will. And there's that tug of war, using that analogy, that continues in our soul. Satan wants to pull us away, and God wants us to be faithful and pull us toward Him. And sometimes it's that tug of war between faithfulness to God versus loyalty to our own will. And God wants to win. God wants us to win and to be on His side. Faithfulness in the journey. As I was studying for this message, my mind went to the song, Find Us Faithful. And this is a song that I believe Harold Martin and his boys sang this song. Find Us Faithful. And I'd like to tell you the story of the background of this song before I read this poem. Of the man who wrote this song, wrote these words. And it's a story that puts meaning to the words of this song, puts deep meaning to the words of this song. This song was written by a man named John Moore. He was a singer and a composer. I believe he sang with the Gaither Vocal Band. And he wrote this song, Find Us Faithful. And the story behind this is this. He says that he wrote this song in response to years of being unfaithful. He said that I always wanted to do the right thing, but my sensual desires, my sensual passions and appetites were so strong in my life. He said that my mom used to tell me, son, just stay pure. When you're married and in the relationship God has for you, you'll be satisfied. And he said that unfortunately that was not the case in his life. And incidentally, it's not the case in any man's life. It needs to be a higher calling than simply being married. But he said that was not the case in his life. For the first 8 years of our marriage, I continued to battle with my lusts and fantasies. I lived a tortured double life. And it took several strategic friendships to help bring John back on track. One was with a fellow singer, Steve Green. Steve had gone through a life-changing experience with God and would talk with John for hours about what God had done for him and about his experiences in life as they traveled on tour. Steve would plead with John. He said that you know that I was just like you, but you can see what God has done for me. You have to do what He's telling you to do. You have to do what He's telling you to do. And John finally came to the place where he wanted freedom in his own life. It was a blessing for Steve to be able to share his own inward struggle. But John said this, it was also terrifying. God kept telling me I had to bring it all out into the light, to leave nothing covered up, that I should confess it all to my wife, Luann, and any others I had wronged. And I said no to God and paid a heavy price for my resistance. Within a year and a half, I was involved with someone else. I was so deceived. I was at the place in life, John says, where I was ready to leave my wife and our six-month-old daughter. And then he says this, that God confronted me one last time. God said to him one day, he said, you know, John, you face me now or you face me later. You face me now or you face me later, but you will face me. And John says, suddenly I could see it. I was such a fool. I was undone. I sat down with my wife. with a bath towel for a handkerchief, and I cried and confessed everything I'd ever done. I left nothing out. Miraculously, when the dust settled, she forgave me. I experienced an important truth. Because of the power of the cross and my obedience, I found freedom. And I also learned that over the next couple of years that I had to continue to fight to maintain this freedom. But with new habits and staying totally current with God, I could remain free. And within months of his life-changing confrontation, John penned these words, "Find us faithful." Find us faithful. And we have this song that he wrote. He said this, "We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find." And then the chorus was, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." Find us faithful. Life is a journey. Life is a journey. How are we doing on the journey of life? How are we doing on the journey of life? When Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? That song was written by a man who knew what that battle of tug of war was and the dilemma of that pull between God endeavoring to live for him and the pull of his own carnal will. And we each are in that battle of life, and we need to choose whether we will follow the path of the just, as Brother Jim reminded us of before the message, or whether we will walk the way of the ungodly. When Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? Luke chapter 18 and verse 8b says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And I have written in my Bible this kind of faith. It's the faith that was, he gave that after he gave the parable of the woman and the unjust judge. And she came to him and persisted, wanting him to make a judgment in her life. And the unjust judge said that he doesn't regard man or God. But because this woman simply comes and doesn't give up, he's going to take care of it. Putting it in my own words. And Jesus used that as an illustration of a man or a woman who is determined to follow him. And is determined not to give up in the journey of life. And he says, shall he find this kind of faith on the earth? Those that pursue God will find him. You may open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And I like to read verses 1 through, I believe, verse 36. Verse 31 is the theme verse this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about that as we read these verses. And then I'd like to use the word faithful as an acrostic. I have a point for each one of the letters of the word faithful. And I want you to think about that as we read this passage. And think about the little accounts that are given. And the lessons that Jesus gives in this passage. And also remember that in verse 30, he says this. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. In Matthew chapter 6, tells us there that Jesus said, it's for all these things that the Gentiles seek after. And I want you to think in your own mind about the difference between the pursuits of carnal man, of humanity, and even the pursuits that we have that are simply for our survival to live in this life. And compare that to the deeper things that God wants us to pursue, and the trust in him, and the loyalty to him, and the faithfulness to him amidst this journey of life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whosoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Pardon me. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more power. No more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus, he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take ye no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful, of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men, and wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. We'll stop reading there. I'd like to go through these points. Just going to go through this rapidly. Number one, we have the letter F. And I've entitled this, Following God. Following God. Faithful in the journey. Dear ones, this morning, if we're going to be faithful in the journey, we need to follow him. What does it mean to follow? What does it mean to follow? You know, when we follow something, when we drive somewhere, we're following something. Either we're following a map, or we may be following our own memory, which sometimes isn't very reliable. We may hike a mountain trail, and we may simply follow the path that someone else has made before us. Or sometimes, maybe we travel down the road and we actually follow someone else. We're going somewhere, a couple people are traveling together, and I did that the other day. I didn't know where I was going, and I said to the other person, I said, well, I'm going to follow you. Actually, it was Merle, that's what I'm thinking of. We were going to Hawk Mountain, and I was driving one bus, and he was driving the other. And I said, I didn't spend a lot of time figuring out where we're going and how we're getting there. I said, I'm just going to follow you. And it was very relaxed. You know, I trusted Merle. And we do that. We follow someone else. And as we think about following God today, how is it in our life? How is it in our life? Are we really following him? Or do we like the side roads that and detours that take our life where we want to go? Following. We are on this journey. When we follow someone else, we yield our will to their decision. When I was following Merle the other day, actually I did that on the way home. It's just coming to me now. But on the way home, we got down 501 below Bethel, and I decided I'm not going 501 the way he went. I'm going to go Wintersville Road. I had a smaller vehicle than he did. And I got there first. I was pretty sure I would, but I decided to try that. And it was because I decided I was tired of following him, and I'm going to see if I can get ahead. And sometimes we do that kind of thing in the Christian life, and it doesn't always work out very well. It never works out well when we detour away from following God. But when we follow someone, we yield our will to their decision. We accept the path that they have chosen, and we also accept their choice of destination when we follow them. Following God. Following God takes us to places that we sometimes feel uncomfortable about. Following God brings us to a place of choice, where we need to decide whether we're going to follow the way of the ungodly, whether we're going to sit in there with them, or we're going to follow God and follow his holiness and follow faithful men. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Following God is not always easy. And he calls us to paths that we would not have chosen. Sometimes we stand at a crossroads, and God says, I want you to make a right turn. I want you to go this way. You need to change direction of travel. The road you're on isn't going to take you where you really want to go. Sometimes God needs to plead with us, and he needs to beg with us, beg of us. He needs to call us time and time again. God did that in my life before I became a Christian. He needed to call several times, many times I rejected him. And one day I said, Lord, I'm willing. And I needed to make a turn at the crossroads. Sometimes as followers of God, as Christians, we come to a Y in the road. And the call comes to serve God in a particular field of service, maybe. Maybe it's school teaching. Maybe it's the mission field. Maybe it's shepherd's fold. Maybe it's caring for an elderly person. Maybe it's the call to church leadership. The calls come. We come to that Y in the road. It requires a big change of focus. And God pleads with us to come and follow him. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, then Jesus beholding him, this was the rich young ruler, he loved him and he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. Follow me. When Jesus met the disciples, his invitation to them was follow me. Following is something that we do voluntarily. Jesus did not force the disciples to make that decision to follow him, but he invited them. And so this morning, in being faithful on the journey, we need to follow God. Trust Jesus. He will always be a faithful leader. Always. Secondly, and incidentally, that is the word that I've used for the letter A is the word always. Always. And I want to make a point here, just a simple point. And that is that following Jesus requires us to always make the right decision and always follow him. Faithfulness never has a time off. We're always on duty. You know, employees talk about being on the clock and off the clock. But following God never gives us time to be off the clock. God never gives us vacation from being faithful to him. He never says, well, I'm just going to look the other way. Do what you want to this week. He never says that. Faithfulness always requires us to be always alert and on duty. Our speech is always heard by God. We are always on duty with him. Thirdly, the letter I, I've entitled integrity of life. The definition of integrity is firm adherence to a code of moral values. Walking uprightly, no matter who is around or who we're with. It is being faithful. Living a life of integrity, no matter who's watching. Applying God's moral values to each moment of our life. And not allowing self and whimsical emotions to deter us from our commitment to God. Integrity of life, unwavering fidelity. The word fidelity means the quality or the state of being faithful. Being faithful. And what does it say next? The definition says accurate in details. Accurate in details. I'm not really a real accurate type of person. Some of you are a lot better at that than I am. Accurate in details. How do we live our life for God? Are we faithful to him? Do we care about our life, our fidelity, our integrity? Number four, we have the letter T. And I've called this being trustworthy. Trustworthy. A faithful person is responsible in our tasks, in his tasks. Trustworthy. Careful in our commitments. Careful in our commitments. This is just probably not the most important aspect of being trustworthy and being faithful. But you know, Jesus said that he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And maybe I'm taking this a little bit out of context, but you know, it's easy to go through life and really always make allowances for yourself. One of the things that I have struggled with most of my life is just being punctual and being on time. You know, there's somehow when there's a meeting planned and and I'm going to that meeting, it's really easy for myself to figure out why it was okay for me to be a minute or two late. But you know, when I go to a meeting and someone else is late, it's kind of irritating. You know, it's like, yeah, why are they late? You know, we want to get this meeting done. We have other things to do. And I really determined to try to be punctual. And I was late this morning to church, and that's bad. I've determined with our family to be at church in plenty, plenty of time. And we haven't always done very well at that. Trustworthy, but in little things, can people depend on us? Can God depend on us? When he calls us to a task, can he depend on us to do our best? Trustworthy. Careful in our commitments. Conscientious as stewards. Stewards of God's spiritual and material blessings. Faithful in our job, faithful in our occupation. Number 5 is the letter H. And I've used the word humility. In Micah 6 and verse 8, it says there, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Follow God. Following God requires humility. And this morning, dear ones, Jesus said that the narrow way has a straight gate. It's a narrow gate. And I've said already, I'd like to picture that narrow gate as simply being wide enough only for you to get through and nothing else. No extra baggage. There's no room for pride to sit us to enter through that gate. Humility. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. The proverb writer there made an astounding observation, an alarming observation, and a humiliating observation, maybe we could say. And he says this, that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Think about that. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And then he says this, but a faithful man who can find? And he brings us to the stark reality that faithfulness leaves no room for pride and arrogance and proclaiming our own goodness. I preached this message last Sunday at Swatara. And it was Monday or Tuesday morning. I was sitting in my desk at work, and across the hallway, I heard one of my employees say to a fellow employee in the office, they were talking about something that had happened or something that he had done, and he was feeling really good about what he had gotten accomplished. And he made this statement. He says, "That's what I really like about me." And of course, I thought about my sermon. And I went over to him and I said, "You know," I told him, I quoted this verse from Proverbs. And of course, he was joking when he said it. But it's true. It's the way it is. It doesn't take us long to congratulate our own selves, does it? We need humility. We sang this morning in this song, "Savior, We Come to Thee." Lovely song, beautiful song. Savior, we come to thee in our humility. That's what we told God this morning. Savior, we come to thee in our humility. Lambs of thy fold are we seeking thy love. Grant us thy blessing now while at thy feet we bow, O tender shepherd, guide us above. Following Jesus, following our shepherd in humility. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, I believe, as well as a test of our humility. Number 6, we have the letter F again. And I've used the word families. Families. Faithfulness. Following God faithfully. This morning, you're not all called to have a family or lead a family, wherever you are in your life, everyone is blessed by faithful families. Everyone. And we need faithful families. We need homes that are at rest. A place where fathers are honored and leading in their homes. A place where husbands and wives love each other. Husbands and wives that are glued together. That love to be together, love to talk together, love to work together, love to be with each other, love each other's companionship. Families. A place where children are welcomed and loved. A place of acceptance. This morning we need strong families. We need strong homes. Homes where God is honored and reverenced. Homes where God is talked about. Where the scriptures are discussed. This morning, the church is no stronger than the families which make up the church and that congregation. And if the church will be strong, families will need to be committed to the church and to the work of the kingdom. Families. Number 7, we have the letter U, and I've used the word unattached. Unattached. And I wanted to bring up some points along the way about this chapter that we read. And I moved through here without bringing out some of these points. But I want us to think about the burden that Jesus had in this passage. One of the burdens was faithfulness. He was looking for followers that were faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to those around them. He was promoting faithfulness. He chided the Pharisees and he said that they are hypocrites. You need to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Unattached. And he comes to verse 31 and he says, but rather, he brings this comparison of the things that the nations of the Gentiles seek after, the things that they put first in their lives. And he says in verse 31, but rather seek ye first the kingdom. Or seek ye the kingdom. Matthew 6, he says, seek ye first the kingdom. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And sometimes we ask the question, what does he mean? What is this that's going to be added? And sometimes we say, well, we believe it means that all these things, the food and the raiment, it's all going to be added. We're going to have all these blessings. And I believe that that was a part of it. But I believe that what Jesus really meant here was that when we face the tough questions of life, he's going to find answers for us. He told this man in verse 13, and one of the men there said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This man was selfish. And Jesus essentially said to him, that's not my calling. That's not why I came. I didn't come to be a judge between the disputes of two selfish men. That's not my work. But I came to offer the kingdom of God. And I came to offer a pathway of humility, a pathway of service, a pathway of following me, a pathway of seeking first the kingdom of God. And he said, beware of covetousness. And Jesus was saying that when you follow me, you'll have answers to those questions. You'll be able to figure it out. And he talked about he gave this parable of the rich man. And he was saying, I believe that when men come to the place that they are blessed and they need to decide what to do with their things, when you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll have the answer. You'll have the answer. And he talks about the problem of not having enough raiment and worrying about tomorrow. And he says, when you seek first the kingdom of God, you will have the answer. And so to wrap all that up, unattached. Jesus essentially was saying, followers of me must be unattached from the cares of this life. Unattached from those that are worrying about the things of this life and worrying about tomorrow. What is it that the Gentiles seek after? We are to be unattached from the things of this life, the cares of this life, the cares that concern earth living. Was Jesus saying that we shouldn't even provide for tomorrow? Well, of course not. You know, we have passages of like Proverbs 31 that honor the woman, honor the wife and the mother that is preparing for tomorrow. But she's doing it. She does it in plenty of time and she's not worrying about tomorrow. But she's being responsible. The scriptures are clear about a father that doesn't provide for his own. Very clear about that. But Jesus is saying, seek me first, and you'll be able to find the answers to tomorrow. And last of all, we have the letter L again. And I've entitled this light, being a light to others, a light to others. And so this morning, as we follow Christ in the journey of life, he wants us to be a light. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to show the way to others, to be an example. Be a light to others. Show the way of mercy. Show the way of patience. Be thankful in your daily walk of life. Gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation is kind of rare in this life. I would say that it's even rare among us. It is. To find a person that is thankful and is grateful in the journey of life. A day or so ago, I was given a story where a local man to us, local Mennonite man, shared his experience, shared his story of an accident that he had. And he was riding a bike. He was hit on the road, and he was, his body made, broke the grill of the car, his head broke the windshield, and he was thrown up in the air. The witnesses said that he was twirling around and flew about as high as the telephone wires. And he lived through that with many, many, many broken bones. But his attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness to God and his admitting that he needed this experience to draw him closer to God, it's humbling. Gratitude. That kind of gratitude over the difficult things of life is rare, even among God's people. A light to others. In closing, Proverbs 28 and verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And we know that was an Old Testament passage. And in the New Testament era, God doesn't promise us wealth and health. But a faithful man shall abound with spiritual blessings. We have that promise. And so this morning, your legacy will be worth duplicating. The legacy of a faithful man and woman is worth duplicating. It's worth others to follow. Leave a path for others to follow. May that the testimony of that song be on our minds. Find us faithful. May we have that desire to leave a path that others can find the way of faithfulness as well. May God bless each of you in the journey of life, in the journey of faithfulness, and may we all be looking forward to his coming again. Let's kneel for prayer.